Luke chapter number 1. And I'll begin reading in verse number 26. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. When she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. The Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be? Seeing I know not a man. And the angels answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. I want to try to talk a little bit this morning about the miracle of Christmas. The miracle of Christmas. We read about the salutation that the angel had given unto Mary, telling her that she would be with child, that this child would be called the Son of the Highest. His name, they gave her the name, said his name shall be called Jesus. And there's a lot to be said in that right there. Now, before I get into this, I had been thinking about the dark time that they had been living in. It had been 400 years of darkness, spiritual darkness, would you say, in the lives of those that lived in the land of Israel. Those that were named Jews. Many had been dispersed several times to different areas. In that 400 years after Malachi's prophecy, it was that final prophecy. Malachi had prophesied, behold, that Elijah would come. That was the forerunner. And so they would be looking for Elijah or the spirit of Elijah to come. And that's why Elizabeth
the aunt to Mary received that first salutation. And we've not read that this morning, but she received a salutation similar to that of Mary. That in her old age, she would conceive with her husband, and that that child would be the very forerunner of Christ. The very forerunner of Christ. I mean, it's amazing how the Lord put this all together, especially in seemingly the darkest times that they had seen in a while. There were the great Maccabean revolt that had happened. And I'm not going to talk a lot about that this morning, but Syria had failed. And when Antiochus the Great in 198 had come back, he made five great cities out of that land, one of them being Galilee and Samaria and Judea, and there were two others. Mostly in the Bible, when you read in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you read about Galilee or Judea or Samaria and the towns that fell under these great cities or provinces. And it's because of the dispersion, things that happened. Along during that time, Judah itself became the dowry of Cleopatra. Can you imagine that? That when she married, her being a Syrian, married the king of Egypt, part of her dowry, what was given to her, was the very land of Judah and everything in it. That was given to her. Could you imagine being a Jew and being under a queen of Egypt? What a dark time that was. But finally, there was a man had come in, Antiochus, and he interfered with the temple. That's what has been written after a bloody battle in 170 B.C. He interfered in the temple, interfered with the priesthood. He plundered Jerusalem. He profaned the temple. He offered a swine upon the altar. And this was an abomination. And he even had those that called themselves Jews, he had them eating pork under his rule. I mean, it was that or die. And so it was an abomination. And it was a picture. Daniel prophesied of that. But it was also a picture of that great abomination of desolation that the Antichrist will do in the middle of the tribulation period. But there's already been an abomination right there by that man. And then there were men by the name of Mattathias. That was a name that we can read about it in the New Testament. Many men were named after this man. It was a common name, like Mary. Mattathias, because Mattathias of the Maccabees banded some godly Jews together and pledged to free the nation. And they restored the ancient worship. Judas regained possession of Jerusalem. And a line of priests were put in place called the Hasmonean priests. When we come into the days of where Christ is going to be birthed, now we have this ruling priesthood under the iron hand of Rome. Rome had taken it, but they had let Judah and Jerusalem reign under its priest. They had their laws. Herod had to actually flee at one point back when Caesar was murdered. And they made Herod king of Jerusalem, king of Judah. And you remember that was the big thing when Christ was born, that there was one born, the king of Israel, king of Judah. And that was an offense to Herod. He was the king. You remember all that in the Bible? Well, that happened in that early conquest before Christ was born. Herod had came back. And he was pronounced king with that line of Hebrews that were back in the temple again. And they had the priesthood back. They had gained something back, but they had lost a lot. Had lost a lot because of their spirituality, not knowing even who Christ was. If they had known, if they would have known, if they had been truly looking for the King, looking for the Savior, if they truly wanted to know. But here we have the prophecy. After all those dark years, the Bible says that suddenly in the book of Luke, chapter number 2, it came to pass in those days there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus, all the world should be taxed. Now, before that Christ would be born, all these things were happening in this government, this hard government that had come to set and rule. But God was going to bring His Son. The Bible says, and when we read it in the book of Luke, when they had came with haste, in verse 16, and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger, when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying that was told concerning this child. Exactly the way that these shepherds had found when they had heard the great salutation from the angels. When that's just up above in chapter 2. They came to them and told them, the angel of the Lord and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. You remember? That's the Shekinah glory of God, like Solomon saw. The glory of the Lord shone round about them. They were sore afraid. Afraid like Mary was afraid. Not knowing what salutation they would receive. Their people had been scattered. Many of their people had been in rebellion. There was a lot of things that were not right in the temple in any true-hearted, God-loving, God-fearing Jew knew what Jesus knew in the greater part of His ministry. They had made the house of prayer into a den of thieves. There was a lot of things going that wasn't the way that God had set it up. So what was God going to do to them? What was God going to say? What salutation were they going to receive? That God Himself would speak out of heaven. That His glory would shine round about them. Well, that should have said a lot right there. But they had never been in God's glory. You see, when God shows His glory, God intends to pour out His fullest blessing upon man. Amen. And He said, for unto you, this gift is for you. For unto you is born this day in the city of David. Right where God said, this day. Now when He said, for unto you is born this day. For you is born this day. That's proof
as one writer said, that there was a definite day that God had a son. For unto you was born this day. Amen. Born this day. Born right here in the city of David. A Savior. When the angel had told Mary, thou shalt call his name Jesus. The Bible said in Ephesians chapter number 1, I believe it was, Ephesians chapter number 1, that he had given him a name that was above every name. Amen. A name higher than all others. Amen. A name that was not like any others. I want to read that scripture. It'll come to me here in a minute. But it's in the book of Ephesians, I believe, chapter number 1. He talked about his name. That name, I mean, listen, that was the name that God had given him, the Son of the Highest. Higher than every other. Higher than all else. Now listen, that spoke of him even in his humanity. He was, everything that is happening now is about God having a human son. Are you listening to me? God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. In the beginning, the word was made flesh. That holy thing which thou shalt conceive, amen, shall be born of the Holy Ghost. His father, are you listening to me? The earthly Jesus had a heavenly father. Amen. That's what made him divine. That's what made him sinless. That's what made him the Savior. His name, Savior, Jesus, one who will save. One who will save. One who will redeem. You think about the many miracles. The miracle of the virgin birth. She was a virgin, the Bible said in verse 27 of Luke 1. A virgin, not a young lady, a virgin. Us Bible believers, listen, believe the Bible. Amen. A virgin, espoused to a man. Wasn't married to him yet. She was espoused to a man named Joseph of the house of David. And when she saw him, she was troubled. Cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. Now here, let me show you something. Mary threw those thoughts up in her mind. She cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. He was going to tell her what the salutation was. But she cast in her mind fear. Doubt, that we do that to ourselves a lot of time. When we should just let God do and say what God wants to do and say. But she cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. He had told her, said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. I don't know if Mary realized she was highly favored. But she was a virgin. She had been living for God. She was this humble young lady about to be married to a man named Joseph. And God saw her as highly favored. And said, The Lord is with thee. The Lord is with thee. I wonder how many times she wondered whether he was, where he was. With their people being dispersed and drawn away and made to live in other places. Their land
was in disarray many times. But here she is in Nazareth. I thought about that. If a man went looking for a virgin, he might have been looking in another city. He might have started with Bethlehem, thinking, we got to get this, maybe get this, find a young lady in Bethlehem if that's where she's going to have a baby. And then maybe move her to Nazareth. And then maybe to Egypt somehow. Man, he don't know what he's doing, but God knew exactly where she was, where to go, where she was going to be, how to get her to Jerusalem, how to get her to Bethlehem. Amen. Through the taxing of everyone, through a trial. She was great with child. Don't you know that wasn't a trial to make the journey that her and Joseph made? Sometime God is going to give us our greatest deliverance and our greatest blessing and greatest light after our greatest trials. She was great with child. In her last days, she was great with child. But God gave them the grace to make it to Bethlehem. She was highly favored. The angel said unto her, "Fear not, Mary. Take the fear away." Everywhere he announced, he told the shepherds, "Fear not." He told Mary, "Fear not." They told Joseph, "Fear not. Don't you be afraid." Why? Because God is fixing to do a miracle. God is fixing to do what your human mind may not can comprehend. I heard a preacher the other day. I was listening to preachers, and I think it was Oliver B. Green. And it was back in his day. He said that he had heard of a pastor somewhere in his area that had said this: "I find it hard to believe in the virgin birth." A pastor that said, "I find it hard to believe in the virgin birth." And I had to say amen to Dr. Green, because Dr. Green said, "I don't find it hard at all to believe in the virgin birth." Amen. God said she was a virgin. She said, "I know not a man. How can this be?" Because that Holy Ghost is going to move upon her. The power of the highest is going to overshadow her. That holy thing is going to be conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. Is of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost put divine seed in the womb of a virgin. Amen. What a miracle. What a miracle. Think about that. A virgin having a child. A virgin having a baby. Now, men smarter than me say that she may have been somewhere between 14 and 17 years old. That's just a young lady. I couldn't imagine one of mine being married at that age, but some of y'all's grandmas or great-grandmas may have been married at 15 and 14. But Mary was young. She was very young. Joseph was a young man. He was a man, but he was a young man. But they did not know one another. He did not know her until after that child was born. She was a virgin when she conceived. What a miracle. Highly favored, the angels that showed the glory of God to man. Listen, no matter how you want to look at it, listen, the glory of the Lord shone round about them. They saw the glory of the Lord.
They saw the glory of the Lord. It came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus in Luke 2 that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor in Syria. Do you know there's been controversy over a lot of them that, you know, like to dig in the dirt? And they say Cyrenius wasn't governor at that time. They say there's nothing written. We've got scrolls and this and that that, you know, it doesn't say who was, but so-and-so had to been governor because of this date and that date. I'm going to tell you something. I believe the Bible. The Bible says Cyrenius was governor of Syria. I believe every word of that. Listen, there's no part of God's Word. There's no part of the birth of Christ. Are you listening? No matter how miraculous it may seem, there's absolutely no part that's not right. It's all right. It's all true. Amen. I believe with everything that's within me. This ain't no fairy tale. This just ain't some story that somebody got some of the facts wrong. You know what I'm saying? Listen, we could all leave here today and write a book about what happened during this service from 10 o'clock to 12. And there may be some people think of a lot more things and some people think of a lot less, and some people's idea of what happened may even clash. But that ain't so. We have an authority, one authority. God Almighty Himself said, this is what happened. Aren't you glad that God Almighty gave His Word and gave us His Word? God wanted you and I to know the miracle of Christmas. The miracle of His Son. The miracle of the virgin birth. That was prophesied in Isaiah. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bring forth a son. Thou shalt call His name Emmanuel, which is being interpreted God with us. And He wasn't talking about God with us like God with the angels and God with Mary. He's talking about the birth of Jesus. God with us. His name is Emmanuel. His name is Emmanuel. God with us. So Joseph went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea under the city of David, which is called Bethlehem. That's where he would be born, just like God prophesied. The miracle of the prophecy. God knew how to get them to Bethlehem. Listen, He would be raised in Nazareth. The Bible said He'd be called a Nazarene. The Bible prophesied they had called His son out of Egypt. Listen, He would be sent down into Egypt when King Herod was out to slaughter all the youngins that were in Israel, in Judah. Are you listening? The angel gave Joseph another sang, come to him in a dream. Miracle of the dream. But she brought forth, he came to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. Luke 2, 5. And so it was that while they were there, that was when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son. And so it was while they were there. And so it was. That's that scripture. When the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son. Made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law. While they were there, that the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes. laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Do you know God knew of this? And God knew of this practice. God's the one that inspired to listen where they had wrapped their babes in swaddling clothes. Back in the book of Job, when God was talking about the creation of the world to Job, and he said to Job in Job 38:4, listen, where wast thou when I laid the foundations of the earth? This is God's handiwork, just like God's handiwork in the birth of his son. Declare if thou hast understanding. Who hath laid the measures thereof, if thou knowest, or who hath stretched the line upon it? Whereupon are the foundations thereof fastened, or who laid the cornerstone thereof? When the morning stars sang together, and all the sons of God shouted for joy. Or who shut up the sea with doors when it brake forth, as if it had issued out of the womb? When I made, listen, the cloud, the garment thereof, and the thick darkness, a swaddling band for it. God said, when I made it, he said, I made the clouds like a garment, and the thick darkness, he said, it was like a swaddling band for it. When Christ was born, his earthly mother put on those swaddling bands. All of this is the picture, the very even created of God sending his God, giving his son. It was apart from the mind and the hands or the understanding of men. But God did it. You ever found doors upon the sea? God said they were there. It may not be a door like you and I see a door, but it keeps the sea where it is. Are you listening to me? The cornerstone, you and I may think of it as in one particular corner of a building, but God's cornerstone, listen, could be the very foundation of it all. Wherever his cornerstone is, it is the foundation of it all. I'm saying it's apart from the understanding of man and apart from the hand of man. He has no part in it. Man had no part. Mary was just a vessel. She was just a vessel. She was a vessel chosen. For him to be brought forth. She brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Those shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night, and the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. Boy, don't you know Gabriel wasn't busy that first 9 months? Or even before. He came to Elizabeth, told her about John the Baptist she would bear. Then came to Mary, told Mary about what had happened to Elizabeth, told Mary what was going to happen to her. Came and told Joseph what was going on. Don't you be afraid to take Mary, your wife. No doubt Joseph had thought, something's happened because I know I ain't touched her. The angel of the Lord gave him such peace that he was settled that his wife was the virgin. That takes faith. That takes some assurance. Are you listening to me? The miracle of assurance
of knowing. I mean, listen, you're talking about dealing with men right here. And God was able to use, even in the book of Matthew 1 and I think Luke chapter 3 or 4, it gives the two heritages of Christ, his human side and his kingly side. Listen to me. You look through them names in there, you see all kinds of people that were messed up at one time. Somehow they got put right in there. God's grace. Are you listening to me? The angels had gone away. I'm about done. From them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, "Let us go. Let us now go even unto Bethlehem." Don't wait. "And see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known to us." They came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. When they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. Listen, can you imagine hearing this from the angel, going exactly where they told him to go, and seeing this child, a child like no other, and then going and telling everybody, everywhere you go, listen, church, is what we're supposed to do. Listen, at this time of year, why don't you tell somebody how he came? What a miracle it was. What God did to send a Savior. And then finish the story now. Say he's not a baby anymore. He's coming back. But what a miracle they saw. That God put all this together. God put all this, there's so much more. I wished I had time. The miracle of Christmas. They found him lying in a manger. Lowly. Made a little lower than the angels. For the suffering of death. Crowned with glory and honor. By the grace of God should taste death for every man. God's Son, unto you is born this day a Savior. This day, God's Son born to be your Savior. I want you to stand.